Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cup. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond.
Yeah. Yeah, this is Cassidy the Hustler. And right now, you listening to the Guillotine. Show them the respect they deserve, man. Off the Cut Radio, man. Y'all already know how they doing it, man. I need y'all to stay tuned. They've been doing it for years. So show them the respect they deserve. And you heard it out of bars, man. Easy.
Keep it moving like this. Yo, this your boy Rampage. You're not rocking with the best. With Off the Cut Radio. Classic. History. Fix your face to all you haters. We off the cut, baby.
Y'all is the Queen of Trap representing Crenshaw, and you are now tuned in with Off the Cuff Radio. What's up?
What's up, y'all? This is Miss Irresistible, giving a shout out to the live Queen of Trap show on Friday nights Off the Cuff Radio, and I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
What it is, what it ain't, what it do, it's Chilly Chill from that original Lynch Mob, and Off the Cuff Radio is always where it's at on Friday nights. West, y'all.
Yeah. What it do, man? We in the building. King Eric right here. That was the new intro that we had to hook up right there. I'm going to put my finishing touches on it tomorrow night. So when y'all hear the full thing, it's going to sound crazy. I got T-Max in the building.
What to do, King. Another job well done on the incredible intro. Yo, man, I mean, we in our 400s now in terms of the episode, man. Shout out to our co-host, Illa, Sandman, and Lady Chinchilla, so Illa. Shout out to Core Financial, Jesse Boutique, Dirty Basement Radio, Buddy Boy Entertainment, and Da Vinci's Radio. We are off the cuff. Once again, wilding out on a Wednesday. And once again, King, this is a very, very, very special show because, you know, bro, we've been doing this show for some time now. And one thing we have always prided ourselves on is that we don't care if our guests have a million followers or one follower in terms of their talent. And one thing about it, it's not so – because we are, and also while we are a hip-hop-oriented outfit in terms of journalism – we've interviewed, you know, writers, we've interviewed photographers, and tonight we have one of the dopest individuals out there doing it at LV, who is the epitome of motivation, determination, ingenuity, and overcoming all odds. She is the epitome of black girl magic and being a self-starter, motivator, of all things, you know, doing it yourself. And if you need a good dish, this girl can whip up anything for you. Representative 702, without further ado, it's Shades Wade, y'all, what it is.
Hey, what's up? This Shay in the house, Chef Shay. What's up, gentlemen? How you doing today?
We good.
Gotta hit you
with
the siren.
Good luck, man. Appreciate you guys.
Look, we appreciate you coming on, man. You know, one thing about it is that, you know, one thing about this show is that, you know, we've interviewed majors, we've interviewed independents, but one thing about it is everybody has a calling, everybody has a talent, and you, Shay, have a tremendous talent, and your resume is beyond incredible. Uh-huh. And we had to get you on to tell your story because we've had artists up here to cook, but you're the first guest we've ever had who is a full-time chef in terms of this is what you do, being an entrepreneur with an entree. So we definitely had to get you on for you to tell your story, but you also have a great backstory in terms of where you started and how you ended up now, what you're still doing.
The backstory, crazy, yeah. I started cooking in a restaurant, and I wasn't happy with doing that. So I ventured off to mechanic school. I completed mechanic school, and I started doing that, and I enjoy it. I love working on cars also. That's my second passion. Mm-hmm. And I just wasn't happy where I was at. I was just like, something's missing, and I'm missing something. And it was always cooking in the back of my head, always. I always love to cook. I just sit in the kitchen and watch my mom cook, and I just want to jump in. And a lot of my family members cook. It's down to my aunts, my grandmothers, my great-grandmothers. It's like a passion. It's on my mother and my father's side. Everyone loves to cook. It's in me, you know. So it's like when I'm in the kitchen, I'm calm. I'm collective. This is what I love to do. It's not a full-time job. I do have a full-time job. I'm a mechanic during the daytime.
Okay, got you.
It's not the only job that I have to do. Yes, so I cook in the evening, and I mechanic in the daytime. My day is very hectic. But I make it work.
Look,
team no sleep.
Yeah. Look, boo, we know how it is, you know, in terms of it. You know, like King said, team no sleep. And, you know, one thing about it is that this is a special show because this is a chance to show, you know, people who may not be in the entertainment industry but nonetheless still are contributors in the culture. Because, I mean, fine dining has always been, you know, instrumental. You know, everybody loves to eat. You know what I'm saying? So
everybody loves to eat.
Yeah, them dishes.
Yeah, man.
Not to mention them seafood dishes look delicious. I can't look at that on my.
Oh, my seafood boils. Oh man, they're amazing. With the crab and the shrimp and the lobster, add some potatoes in there. Got some corn, some sausage, with that nice sauce. And that sauce. After that, you're going straight to sleep. It's bedtime after that.
Look, you get KO'd by the cook with the itis. Yeah, man.
Exactly.
I mean, look, I feel bad. I feel bad for those with shellfish allergies because I know a couple people. So it's like, yeah, man. So, I mean, in terms of, you know, being a mechanic, what was your forte? I mean, basically you do autos. Is it pretty much domestic, foreign, or just pretty much anything they throw at you, you can fix it?
As far as, like, anything from brakes to rotors to struts to oil changes to – just like anything mechanic on the car, anything recalls, I do it all. PDIs, that's bringing new cars in, setting them up before they can go out. It's a lot when it comes to mechanics. You not just don't have to deal with just one manager. You got to deal with the customers and you got to deal with the service advisor. So it's a lot.
You know,
especially when you're dealing with the customers, that's more so psychological question. People got different personalities and different problems.
Yeah. They do. Every car is different. Every car is not the same.
Definitely. Now, you know, so in terms of you being in Las Vegas, tell us about where you're originally from. Were you born and raised there, or did you have another place before you got there?
No, I'm actually from Cleveland, Ohio. 216.
Okay.
Cleveland, Ohio. Born and raised Cleveland, Ohio.
Home of the Cavaliers.
And we know we got a plug.
Home of the Cavaliers, the Browns. Listen.
Indians.
We got some of the best cooks there. Yeah.
Okay.
Y'all do nothing. Yeah, we got it. We got it all.
Hey, T-Mags, you know Al Heyman from out there, so you know. It's that connection.
Look. And I guess that's a perfect segue because in terms of the Al Heyman, of course, most notably being, you know, the mastermind behind Floyd's Money Team, you also cooked for Floyd's dad. Tell us how that happened.
No, that was a crazy day, actually. I had me being the person I am, I just start emailing a whole bunch of people and just start sending them telling them about me, giving them my phone number, and send them a whole bunch of pictures, okay? When I started to do this, I got into his chef of 40 years. His name is Chef P.J. Thomas, okay? When I inboxed him and he finally returned, he said, nice food. So I looked at it and I liked it and I continued my day. Like I didn't know who this guy was. He just said, like my food. And I just kept it going. So one day, it was on a Sunday, he commented on a Monday, like, hey, I want you to make some dishes for Floyd Mayweather, and we'd like you to bring them to his house for dinner. And that was it. And then he said, DM me, and he DM me his number, information. He was like, I'll give you a call to let you know we're very busy, but I do want to pursue this with you. I said, okay. So, you know, patience is key, right? You know.
Right.
So I just let it go on weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. And something said, you know what, I'm going to reach out to him. Maybe he'll say, okay, well, you can do it this day. So the next following day, as soon as I sat down on the Sunday, on a Monday, he contacted me like, hey, I need Floyd's dinner at his house at 6 p.m. I was like, oh, it was like, now this is like 11 a.m. same day. And I'm at work full time. So it was a crazy day. So I ended up having to tell my manager, like, hey, I got an appointment. I got to go. So he's like, okay, go. So I went home and cooked. Literally, he had fried chicken legs, macaroni and cheese, some yams, some greens. He liked coleslaw and corn muffins. And
mm-hmm.
he was like, this is everything. So he felt the love when I walked into his home. He felt the love. He felt the love when I lifted the lids off and he started seeing everything, because at first he really didn't say too much. He didn't say nothing until I started lifting those lids off, and he's seen the food for himself. So that was a really good opportunity to just be in his presence and to be able to cook for him, you know.
You know, Shay, we're listening to all of this, and we're just floored by all of this, because, you know, to hold it down like you do, of course, you know, you have a significant other. Shout out to your wife. You know,
thank you.
You know, you make all of this happen in terms of really holding it down. And, you know, when you talked about how you get your numbers out there, you know, just pass the information, you know, King and myself, you know, we've been doing this show for a while. And one thing is, what you said parallels directly with an artist trying to get their shit out in terms of music. You know what I'm saying? Because if
Correct.
You don't market yourself, nobody else is going to market you. What is it like in terms of moving and shaking in terms of, because Vegas is the land of money. Matter of fact, I need to get back out there. Shout out to Yowda, Team Mayweather, you know, everybody out there, 702 and the 702, you know, Misha, Camila Irish, you know, and, of course, Adam Plant and his family, you know, one of the best bodyguards out there if you ever need somebody to protect you while you're out there. And, of course, can't forget the UNLV running Rebels. So, I mean...
Yeah,
that's
tough.
Yeah, man, I mean...
Yeah, this is a challenge, you know, because I see a lot of different cultures. I see a lot of different people cooking different stuff, but I never seen nobody cook what I cook, you know. I see a lot of tacos here. I see a lot of... I don't see a lot of seafood boils. I don't see a lot of fried foods. You know, and I was like, well, maybe I can bring something from Cleveland, Ohio to Vegas. You know, let me put my flair out on there. And I'm standing out, and I like that I'm standing out from different people, you know. So it's like putting myself out there, that's what I do. I like doing that. Eventually, I'm going to get attention. Somebody going to say something.
And that's one reason why we wanted to give you this forum to really talk about it, man, because, you know, it's about the, you know, the average person who works, but it doesn't make what you do any less significant, because you play a big part in all of this. What have you learned about in terms of people discerning tastes in reference to cuisines in terms of, like, you know, because, you know, he got the good old Southern, you know, Mr. Mayweather got a full Southern tradition in terms of food, but what is it about when you just, like, put your foot in it and, like, just dumb it out on some old exoticness? Like, if you're going to do, you know, beef stroganoff, or, you know, any, you know, just any other exotic seafood dish in terms of, you know, crab bisque, lobster bisque, you know, just all of that in terms of, you know, I mean, what is it like in terms of when you're, is it pretty much something you have set, or you just let your imagination run with it in terms of what you're going to do?
Well, sometimes if I never cooked it, I cook stuff that I don't eat. And it still tastes amazing. And people ask me, how do you cook something you don't eat? I don't know. It's just I know how I can look at it one time and cook the meal with no problems.
Mm.
And how, like you said, how do I cook something that I don't eat? But everybody else loves it, and I'd be like, oh, well, thank you. like it happens like that. I don't know, but it does. Like one time, it takes one time a visual thing for me, and I'm hands-on. Mm. I'm more of a hands-on person. So I see it one time, and I got it from there, you know. I'm taking off.
And you know what that's called? That's called a gift, because not many people have that innate understanding of food preparation, you know, and, you know, understanding the textures and everything else, you know, and obviously given your background, you know, that's, you know, that's your genealogy of culinary genius with your family. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's intuition right there. That's what creative people have. Like, you could sense it before anybody else can. It's like when you're a creator, you can see things that other people don't see.
No, you're right, man. That is so true. They'd be like, well, how long you been doing this? I've been doing this for like since I was like 11.
Oh, wow.
A little younger than that, maybe. Yeah. I love cooking.
So you got
everything. Yeah. I got some background.
Yeah, you got some years behind that.
Yes, I do.
Well, I mean, that's a beautiful thing.
I can't wait for the future, you know. I'm excited for the future.
You know what's a trip, too, is that when people cooking, they look at, you know, the TV shows like Steph Ramsey and all that. Like, is the atmosphere really like that when it gets really tense?
Yeah, when it gets busy. And people ask me, do I cook all this food myself? I do cook all this food myself. I do have assistants in the kitchen. As far as cooking, I cook and plate myself. So everything that you see on my page is all me. I just have assistants. That's it. Everything is me. I cook down to the everything. I cook it.
Wow. I mean, in terms of the marketing, what do people have to understand? Because you are an entrepreneur, Shay. So this is something that, you know, and, you know, King and myself, we've interviewed so many people, and we talk about the ups and downs of being an entrepreneur in the music industry or whatever vocation it is, you know, because, you know, when you're doing this, this is the element of being your own boss on your, sometimes on your own hours, depending. But it also means that everything is going to you in terms of whether you rise or fall. What do entrepreneurs in any profession have to understand in terms of the risk that they take and having the discipline and the desire and the determination to do it?
Everything takes time. I want everything to come right now. And everything is not going to come right now. You know, you got days where you don't get any orders. Then I got days where I'm running out of food, you know. But it's like if you keep pushing, and if it's your passion, you're going to go for it. You're not going to hold back. You're just going to keep pushing, and you're going to keep doing it every day and every day and every day. And I think, like I said, eventually it's all going to pay off. It's all going to pay off. I'm going to be where I want to be. I'm already where I'm at, want to be right now. It's just elevating. Every day it's elevating.
And one thing about it, too, is when you look at it also, because one of my first introductions, because a few years ago, into the entrepreneurship of black chefs, you know, was Trap Kitchen out in L.A. Shout out to those guys, you know, and how they've been able to franchise theirs. Even out here my way in Hampton Roads, Virginia, shout out to Chef Dro, Chef Roy, you know, JK's Grill. So many people in my area, you know, that do, you know, what you all do. And, you know, when you're dealing, and obviously you all cook at a high level of it in terms of this ain't no, you know, run-of-the-mill type of deal. You know, this is actually, you know, touched by real talent. What is it like in terms of the market in reference to setting your prices and your clientele in reference to who may call you on any given day?
I think my price is reasonable. I don't know why, because everything is fresh. Nothing is never frozen. Everything is fresh. I'm not going to serve you something that I don't eat. And that's what you got to remember. You have to remember that everybody, all my guests can define us. I wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah, I mean, of course, you know, you got other people out there, and you know, in LV too. Like, of course, Ink Kitchen. You know, he's doing his thing out there. You know, and one thing about it is, people got to understand. You know, food is, you know, if there's anything an analogy that comes up to it, it's the novel like Water for Chocolate. If you're familiar with that, of course, Common, in what, 99, 2000, he released that album, and it was based on a novel. It had to do, like, the people would actually feel the emotion that the chef would put into it. You know what I'm saying? And it elicited all these types of different emotions in terms of how people would respond to it. You know, and it's something that you really, 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 you know, yeah, I mean, it's all about people get a taste of it and then they want to come back.
I have a lot of returning customers daily. These are daily people that keep returning and returning and returning. And when they taste one, they always want their cousin to taste it or their friend to taste it. And guess what they do? They order right behind it. Because they're like, hey, you always ordering from this girl. What is she cooking that you always like going there? Literally Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and Sunday. They'll order all four days. All 4 days. And it's like, I mean, I can't thank you enough for keep ordering. That means I'm doing something right. Keep ordering.
Yeah. As long as you got that supply and demand coming, that's what you really want. But when you're in sales like that, when they buy you out, they don't understand what it is when you're trying to rebuild that clientele. That's the work of an entrepreneur like that.
Yeah, I actually did a brunch, and the girls, they loved it. Like, it best food ever. Everything is with flavor, and I just get people that want to cry. He ate lobster tail and was crying. He's like, I feel the love. I feel the love in your food. I feel the flavor. It's like I said, it's just that I put my touch on it. When I put my touch on it, it goes off from there. It's just like, it speaks for itself. My food speaks for itself.
And I mean, look, you channel, you know, because the main character in the book, you know, is Tita. You know, the novel is written itself by Laura Esquivel. And, you know, definitely has, she's just got that black girl magic that goes into it. I mean, you're a maven on both sides of it in reference to being a chef and a mechanic. Now, let's go back to the mechanics for a minute in terms of cars, because, you know, myself, you know, for my regular job, you know, I work at all, you know, in automotive, you know, working at an auto parts store. And it is a lot in terms of seeing customers come in terms of buying the parts for cars and understanding the type of car that they have and not being able to, at times, you know, maintain the maintenance on it. What do people have to understand about when car buying in reference to maintenance, like whether you buy a BMW, a Mercedes, a Bugatti, if we're really going to start talking about balling a Maserati and then even a Rolls Royce, or just even so much as a Lexus or, you know, old school Chevy where some of the parts may be rare on it. What do people have to understand about maintenance and upkeep?
Which maintenance on your car is important. Your oil changes to your tire rotations to your brake. You got to make sure all this stuff, because if this stuff doesn't work, it fails. And then you got one thing that fails after another. And another thing, and all that money adds up. If you take care of it right then and there, you won't have that problem. I have people come in there without oil changes 4 and 5 years.
Oh, wow.
How are you driving around like that?
It's their Kage me. How, Sway? How?
they have the whole one day at a time mentality. They're like, look, any day now, we're just gonna push it.
Yeah, that's living life on the edge. I don't like living like that. I don't like living with no check engine light on either.
you know when they get behind the wheel, they be like, any day now, if it crank up, we there.
Yeah, like dead batteries, brakes. Like you can see the caliper. Oh my, it's like zero brakes, and they're riding around.
Yeah, I mean, look, when the rotors start going, and of course, you know, because you got your pads that grind into it too. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So that can mess up your alignment, break your axles and all that because it's that hard stop,
yes.
So it's not smooth. Because your brakes are supposed to stop smoothly. When it's grinding, it's friction, which obviously is more force, which can bring to a break. In terms of your brakes,
yeah.
In terms of your front axles, yeah. And in terms of also, too, because, you know, one thing about it is when you look at it of how it works, and I'm going to say this on the air because they've been good to me. Shout out to AutoZone, you know,
I love
you learn a lot. Yeah,
yes,
appreciate it. Yeah, you know, because they've been great to me, you know, and I've learned a lot. You know, one thing about it is, and, you know, when you deal with cars, because you see a lot, like, because also driving commercial, too, where we make deliveries. So we were, I got to tell the story. So one day we were back at commercial. So, we just chilling. So we get a phone call from one of our, you know, commercial accounts, you know, that buys parts from us. So they ask us, do we have brake rotors for a Maserati? So, like, King be doing with Scooby-Doo, like, whoa, 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 whoa. We looking at each other like, huh? So we're looking at each other like, no. Because he's like, okay, I'll just call the check because young boy, he went and bought himself a Maserati and it needed rotors. So if you know anything about a Maserati, I tell our audience out there, Maserati rotors usually start around $500 and up. And that's just on the lower.
Right. Exactly.
You know, so, you know, it's, you know, they're pretty dope.
Don't live
like
beyond
anything.
Your means, you know.
Right.
Don't live beyond your means.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
What do people, and
not to try to press somebody
people,
else.
I think that's
right.
Awful.
What do people,
I mean, unfortunately, that's the society
ahead.
We live in. By how a lot of people do. Like, it's their ego. Like, they have to live two times beyond their means. See, it used to be they used to live beyond their means. Now they double living beyond their means.
It's crazy.
It's wild.
Yeah, and he bought that car used, too. Shay, what do people have to understand about buying cars in terms of having a Carfax? Because technically the Carfax is only going to report what has been reported in terms of any damage. Carfax is good to have, but it's only going to go in terms of that, in terms of what
so far
was actually reported.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. What do people have to understand in terms of buying everything from an old school Chevy to a drop top Porsche to a balling out Bentley in terms of having the papers on it, making sure that everything is, because, oh, wow, we can go into all types of conversations about this, but we'll start with this. What do people have to understand about the papers in terms of understanding the history, the warranty, buyer, who had the car, the mileage?
Yeah, when you buy used cars, your warranties go quick. You know, it's better to buy a new car than a used car. I mean, used cars, if you get something with 60,000 on it, you know, it may only have a year left, 2 years left. But during that warranty, you want to make sure everything is fixed. Because after that warranty, guess what? Everything is up to you, you know, and then they start charging your pocket. That's down to anything inside the vehicle, it's under warranty. Always, sometimes it's 60 to 70, you know. If you break something on the seat, they fixing it. If you mess up a mirror, if you got a trunk that's not closing, I got 60,000, I have no more warranty. You still got some type of warranty on that vehicle, you know. But me preferring buy new, so you don't have to worry about that. If you can't, under 60, it's good for you.
Got you. And in terms of the rim game, what do people have to understand in terms of making sure that you get the proper support systems in terms of lift kits in reference to, you know, if you're going to get donks or even if you're going to get a 4x4 lift kit? Because some heads try to cheat in terms of buying those cheat kits, and I've seen it a couple times because people forget when you're dealing with those 24 and 32-inch rims, how big and heavy they are. And if you don't have the proper support system, I've seen on those wheelbases when they turn, because especially you have to make sure that well is cut out where you have the proper radius. Otherwise, if you don't, and especially when there's, you know, because obviously I have to turn and grip the ground.
No,
well,
you said everything right there.
Yeah.
You said everything you said was correct. You know, like me personally, I'm taking it to a dealership. I'm not taking it to no offside person. I mean, because offside person don't know a dealership is going to do it right. Because if they mess up, guess what? They got to pay for it. It's a dealership. But if you go to somebody else, it doesn't.
People made that big mistake in going to people in the corner because they can jip you and they don't know what they're doing, mess up your parts, mess up your wire. You can't get no compensation.
Definitely. Also, too, Shay, in terms of lift kits, like for 84 Chevy Caprice, trying to do a 24 inch in terms of getting a lift on it, what would somebody look to expect in reference to getting a what would be a standard price in terms of getting a good lift set for it?
Oh, them cost like they start at like at least $500 for a good lift kit, especially here in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
At least $500 for a good lift kit. Yeah, it's gonna cost if you want it, you know.
And also, too, in terms of Bentleys and Bentleys, Lamborghinis, Ferraris, because obviously you're in Vegas and it's the land of money. I've been there. The money out there is stupid, you know. Shout out, of course, to the, you know, the super mall out there, man. You know, the Greek, you know, Caesar's Palace. I mean, it's, oh, my goodness. I mean... In terms of like the exotics out there, what do people? What's the market for that out there? And in terms of how people maintain, do you see a lot of those cars end up back on the used lot, or do you pretty much see them on the roads where the owners pretty much hold on to them?
Nah, I see a lot of them roads, especially them Chargers. They out here. They got like a Charger crew or something with a whole bunch of Chargers. They take care of the cars out here.
Yeah, and also, too, with it being with the weather out there, because y'all are in the, you know, because it's a desert climate in terms of, you know, the sand, you know, and the dirt and everything, how much can that gravel affect your ride in terms of just in terms of the roads and everything? What are the roads like that are conducive to drive? What's it like out there?
No, they actually cool. Actually, you got smooth ride here. No bumpy. It barely even rains here.
Okay, gotcha.
It's perfect here.
Definitely. So, I mean, in terms of all of this, man, I mean, you obviously have such, you know, a detailed knowledge on everything that you've done, you know, and are still doing and will continue to do. Is this pretty much for what you do in terms of your cooking? Have you thought about opening your own restaurant down the line, or are you pretty much, you know, cool with what you're doing right now?
Actually, I want to either a food truck or a storefront. But I'm trying to lean more towards the food truck because I like to be outside. I like to just move around. I don't like to be in one place too long.
Right.
I want to interact with my customers, you know. And I think I can do that with a food truck.
And how important is it to have an interaction with your clientele? You know, because it's just like, you know, because what you do is a service, and you know, it's something that you know, it's about interacting with the people. What is it like in terms of knowing, you know, being, you know, knowing your clientele, being on a first name basis, you being familiar, and then in terms of, you know, being familiar with your audience, and then your audience being familiar with you?
Just like I said, they keep coming back. I try to store it. If I can, I try to store all my customers in my phone so I know who you are, you know. I want to know you when I see you. Like, oh, I know what your order is already. But I know eventually I'm not going to be able to do it, but I'm going to try my best. I'm trying my best to get all to know my customers and to give back, you know.
And legal curve survey, y'all.
Another thing I want to ask, too, is, you know, with the changes that's been happening for the past year with the COVID-19 and everything, how hard of a hit have y'all guys been hit with the restaurant business? You know, to give some clarity to what's going on with the world.
I actually see a lot of them were shut down, you know, and shutting down now. Like, it's not like it was. Like, I see a lot of restaurants to close down or had to close for some reason, you know.
Yeah, and you know, one thing about it, man, is that, you know, one thing about the pandemic, while it did damage on a lot of levels. That was the heartbreaking thing about it because, you know, you saw a lot of businesses, you know, that were around for years, you know, who couldn't, while they did well and had history, you know, they couldn't sustain that level of drop-off, especially when initially in the early stages when, you know, things were closed by state mandate. And, you know, things, you know, unfortunately, you know, rest in peace to those businesses that the people could not sustain it. You know, but one thing about it, too, from another level, is that while people had that time to sit down, you know, like King and myself, you know, even with this, you know, this show being virtual, you know, it just gave us time to really go back in the lab and just plot out our next moves. Shout out to Cassidy when he was on the show last year. And remember, King, remember what Cassidy said about the rappers out here today? You know, he's like, you don't come back with better bars because, you know, the pandemic has made everybody sit in the house and just actually get productive and there's something wrong with you. Remember when he said that, King?
Yeah, because it's like this was the time where you had to pretty much find your craftsmanship, so tap into your creative zone. And it's unfortunate that a lot of people didn't even do one-third of that. Two-thirds of that, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. So pretty much, Shay, in terms of you being out of Vegas, of course, shout out to Yalda, Miss Key Culture, you know, G-Fat, Lady Empire, you know, because we got folk out there, too. What is it like in terms of seeing, you know, the hip-hop scene out there? Are you into that out there, or are you pretty much R&B, or are you just kind of just, you know, kind of just chilling in the background?
I like both R&B, more of R&B, just soothing. I like hip-hop, don't get me wrong, but R&B is my favorite.
Yeah, because
R&B. Who's
some R&B? Yeah, I was gonna say because R&B.
Yeah.
That's the Sunday cooking right there, music right there. You know what I mean?
That's right. R&B.
What's an album you love to throw on when you get in the kitchen and you just and you get in your zone and just, you know, ready to set fire?
It's just a mix.
To,
I like a mix. It's just a mix. I listen to from Whitney Houston to Tank. Drew Hill. I listen to everything. I just be in my own zone.
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and throw a plug out here because he's one of the dopest out there that a lot of people. He has an audience that a lot of people still are familiar with him. Are you familiar with Steve Lacy?
No.
Go on YouTube and check out Steve Lacy. He's nice. Yeah, but also too, I can see Shay why R&B is a thing for you, like King said, because R&B is very soothing in terms of, you know, when you just get one at one with the rhythm, and it just mellows you out. You know, we're hardcore hip hop heads at heart, so we love, of course, the loud, obnoxious shit like M.O.P. and Kool G Rap, you know, Griselda.
Hey, T-Man, check this out. Now, you know, translate this for a minute. I could recall one scene in a movie where they were cooking to some gangsters. That was Mokeem and Jason Leary. He was cooking the Spice One. He was cooking his mama's Sunday dinner, the Spice One.
Right. Yeah, I mean,
he hooked
you know,
it up,
but that's how it be, though, man. I mean, in terms of what people be get their vibe on to and whatnot. When you look at all the hotels out there, Shay, in terms of like, you know, the Venetian, you know, when you look at Excalibur, you know, Luxor, you know, the MGM, oh my God, MGM Grand Buffet is just, I tell anybody, you have not lived until you've gone to the MGM Grand Buffet and had that buffet. Oh my God. Ooh. Yeah, I'm having a flashback. What's your interaction been with other chefs out there in terms of, do y'all bounce ideas off each other? What's the fraternity, the food fraternity, like out there between y'all?
I'm trying to get more familiar with other chefs. I have a lot of chef followers. I'm trying to start a Discord just for Las Vegas, but like I said, I have more like just random people. I accept anybody.
Got you. And I mean, you know, that's always a good deal, though, in terms of, you know, whatever you do in your profession. Because some people, because cooking, just like in scene, is a very intimate art. So some people are very insular when it comes to who they interact with on that level. Because obviously, you know, music and chefing is an expression of your personal style, your artistic, you know, aesthetics, you know, your... your creativity and whatnot. But it's, so I mean, pretty much you being in Cleveland, you know, being born and raised in Cleveland, what was it like coming to Vegas? What was your first impression for the first time? Like, how did you end up in Vegas?
Well, when I first came down here, it was actually to get married. And after that, I was like, I just saw money and I just saw a lot of food. And I'm like, I need to be here. I need to be here. And I started following a friend that had moved down here from Cleveland, Ohio. And I saw she was doing good shit in life. And I was like, I want to be there, you know. And 4 years later, we're in the same state together. And she's like, remember when you keep talking about it, you know, you talking to existence, you know. When you talking to existence, things come true.
Mm-hmm. Ain't that the truth? Now, also too, Shay, in Vegas, because because on this show we try to touch on as many things pertaining to that region or a particular region of who we interview as possible. Gambling is big out in Vegas, and we've seen people lose their ass behind it. What do people have to understand about going to casinos and not getting themselves caught up out there in terms of that type of those one-armed bandits and slick dealers on the cards?
Wait,
there
you go.
Huh?
Yeah. I'm sorry, I heard you. Yeah, see, I don't go down. Listen, I'm more of a local now. I don't want to go down there to crazy casinos and stuff like that. Just keep your money in your pocket, you know. Just pay like $10. You don't need to pay all that.
Yeah, look.
They'll get that urge because it's very tempting. Like, you know, the glare, the women, the sparkling lights, all that. That's going to be
luxury.
Like a huge temptation. So if you're going to go gamble, you better have at least about 15, 20 stacks of losing money.
Yeah. One thing about it too, King and Shay, like, remember when we all saw Casino for the first time? Shout out, you know, to Robert De Niro as H. Rothstein, man. You know, a shout out to Scorsese for directing it. That was the introduction for a lot of us out there in terms of really seeing what it was like, you know, in terms of that Vegas life, man. You know, and having been out there, you know, I can tell everybody there's a lot of money to be made, but it's also a lot out there to get caught up in if you're not careful with it. I knew the shit was real. We touched down, you know, at McCarran Airport, and we saw the casino. We saw a casino right in the airport, and we saw the Rolex store in there too.
Oh,
my God.
Damn, Walmart. They in the corner
they
store.
Shit.
They're in the
Walmart.
They're in the corner stores. They're in the gas stations. Anywhere you think a casino is, there is one there. They want you
Walmart.
To go from here, you know? Yeah.
Las mm-hmm. Vegas Walmarts have a casino. I've never seen that in my life.
You're not, unless you come to Vegas.
Oh, man. Look, the one place where, you know, prostitution is legal, you know, and gambling, you know, is like fair game. You know, that's, man, I tell you, when Bugsy Siegel went out there back in the day,
you know, and then eventually, you know, because we all know the story about how the mafia, you know, ended up kind of, you know, really kind of building to what it was, because Vegas at one point was a stopover town for the military before somebody got the idea to go ahead and make it an entertainment venue across the city. So, yeah, you know, but yeah, man, I mean, but it's so much out there. So what celebrities have you just happened to randomly see out there just on a regular day? Because everybody goes out there.
Everybody goes out here. Everybody on the strip. You know, people say, "How do you live in Las Vegas?" I don't think about the strip. You know, that's where all the clubs at. And but now you want, this is the time you want to come to Vegas because it's lit now. You know, everybody, the clubs open, the restaurants open. You up all night. It's like an adult Walt Disney World.
Oh man, so pretty much it's back in full swing now out there.
No.
Yeah, everything open. Everything open. Ain't no restrictions here. No. Everything's back to full capacity.
That's dope. And, you know, I can't forget him. And, we can't, look, yo, we can't forget all the people that stay out there. Shout out to my man Marcus Aurelius, the Body by KG Magazine. And, of course, Tash and the Alcoholics. You know, shout out to the Liquor Crew because Tash stays out in Vegas, too. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, man. I mean, so pretty much, you know, Vegas has always been synonymous with, like you said, Shay, the adult entertainment world and whatnot. How have you managed to just pretty much not get caught up in it in terms of it? Because I know that was like a culture shock, you know, for you and your wife coming out there in terms of just seeing everything, you know, and just, I mean, literally like your wildest dreams come true in terms of whatever you want. Vegas has it. You've just been so grounded and just so level-headed in everything and calculating your moves. How have you managed to maintain that level of discipline so far?
It's like I'm a person that I time my whole life just so you know. Everything's timed. I time up from when I go wake up in the morning so I go to bed. So, you know, like people are like, "You wanna go out?" Like, no, because you know, I got bigger goals, you know. I want my business to be off the ground. I wanna do this. I wanna do a lot of things. I like traveling. Me and my wife love to travel, you know. So it's like you gotta stay grounded. I'm a grounded person. I'm very structured.
Now, also too, in terms of your cooking, because I've seen some places where with the chefs, some of them, do you do everything at home or do you have a kitchen that you may rent out to use or what have you? Because I know some chefs do that. I also know the politics behind that in terms of hotels and all that, because their thing is if it ain't their function, they do not want you in there. How does
right.
that work in terms of your, yeah, how does
well,
that work
right
in terms
now,
of the process?
Well, for my process, as far as the whole cooking and on the strip is, I can cook on the strip as long as you have a kitchen, you know? So I ask all my guests, my customers, to try to get an Airbnb or try to get like a timeshare hotel, because we have a lot here with kitchens. I mean, so you can enjoy it. So you can enjoy my food. So you don't have to wait 2 and 3 hours to get food, you know? Like, and then I actually have two kitchens. I have one outside on my porch and I actually inside, but I mainly cook outside. So I just like being outside and keep the grease down in the home. I really cook. So I made like the kitchen outside.
Definitely. So what was the most ambitious dish that you ever cooked in terms of like what a customer asked you for?
Everybody's being the lobster tails is the hot thing right now. The fried lobster tail. And that cauliflower fried rice, that's another thing, you know. I used to be on keto myself, so when he presented it to me, I was like, oh, it's like, when he tasted it, he's like, that's the best rice I've ever had in my life. You know, I cook with heart. Yeah.
That's dope, man. That's dope. And what's it like in terms of, what's it like in terms of getting all that stuff together?
I think we have a 216 caller. I'm going to see who this is.
216.
I'm going to plug this see what this person
okay,
is.
Okay, 216, you on the air?
216?
Hello?
Hello? Hey, that's from Cleveland. Who is it?
Yeah. 216, you on? Hello?
I just want to listen.
I think they just want to listen.
Get that. Yeah, I guess they want to listen, but sometimes that happens. That happens, though. I'm like, okay, because you never know who might be a phone call. I'm like, man, it might be. No, it might have been Al Heyman himself giving us a call. He got to answer every call.
Look, it could be Floyd Mayweather Jr. It could be Gervonta Davis calling in. We never know. You know what I'm saying?
That's why I switch every call. I don't even hesitate no more.
Call in if you got questions. Call in. I answer all questions.
I don't hesitate anymore.
Yeah, man. So what's the
you never
what's
know
usually
why
the food
Floyd on the phone? Like, He'll call up there and talk about, hey, man, I'm going to take y'all out to Vegas. Shit, I'm picking up every call now.
Oh, man, that's hilarious. Yeah, so what's it like in terms of the prices, in terms of, you know, for some of the dishes, like with the seafood prices and all that? How does that go in terms of, do you usually do that in terms of out of pocket, or or the situations where the customers may pay you to go ahead and pick up what you need to cook them what they want?
See, how I use with my high sale clients like Mayweather, and then I did another person in LA. He was he owns his own strip club, so when what I do is I just take the money out my pocket, and they just usually give it back to me. But I do half payment and then half payment off. I do half payment before and then the rest of the payment when I prepare your order for you.
Hey, you know, look, you know how we do it on the block, man. Half now, other half, you know, half now for consign, you know, for good faith.
Correct.
And other half once the job's done. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's
exactly
what it is,
yeah,
man.
You know, listen, they always tip me more, you know. Well, I always get tipped extra. I know it's good when they always tip me.
Definitely. Now, the L.A. joint, the dude, gentleman that owns the L.A. club, does he come to you or does he fly you out there to there?
Say it again. I'm sorry, I didn't hear it.
Oh, you're at the L.A. strip club owner. Do you go out there?
He actually came here. He actually came here to get his hair braided by my wife. My wife is a hairstylist. She keeps my hair. She keeps my locks all the way together. So he was just looking for somebody to braid his hair. And she was, we were out. He was like, hey, can you come braid my hair now? And we like, sure. So we ended up going to braid his hair. And, you know, me being the person I am, I like to promote myself. Once I found out about him, I was like, hey, well, I cook, you know. And he was like, well, I'm hungry. I was like, okay, well, what you want? He was like, all right, let me look at your page. When he looked at the page, you know, this is me promoting myself, you know. So I'm like, look at the page. So he looked at the page. He's like, I want those fried lobster tails. Okay. You know, I do last minute. If I know you're gonna get the food, I'm gonna cook it right then and there, you know. I always get last minute orders.
I'm good at last minute orders. Look, i.e., y'all, because y'all got to read between the lines of what she says. She'll do last minute, but you're going to have to come up with that bag, too, because that's she's
–
Exactly.
Yeah. You want that quick? I got you. I got you. But, you know, I appreciate everybody.
Yeah, man. And that's one thing about it. You know, you never know because it's wild, man, Shay, because, you know – you know, with this operation King and myself have with Off the Cuff, man, you know, and on IG, you know, where we've been blessed to meet so many tremendous people, you know, we also have to watch out for them Forex scammers and those bots, you know. But this was a few months ago when you hit me up on my page. And I love food. I guess those algorithms, because I follow a lot of chefs. I don't know if that's how you found me or whatever, but, you know, I was, of course, I'm always going to support my black entrepreneurs, especially my black, you know, female entrepreneurs. You know, I just love our black people in general. You know what I'm saying? So I was happy to accept it. When I saw, you know, what you did, I was like, oh, yeah, we got to have her on the show. We need to have her on the show.
Thank you. I really appreciate y'all. I really, like I said, I'm going to continue to put myself out there. I am. I mean,
yep.
It's just stepping stone more. Just keep putting myself out there. Put myself out there. That's the key. That's the tunnel right there. That's the key to everything.
And that's the beautiful part about social media. I mean, people say, you know, people always have a lot to say about the cons, and there's a lot of cons, but this is one of the positives. You know, we get to network with different people all over the globe and build it with them and build it with the science behind what you do as an architect behind the kitchen. There's levels to this shit. You know what I'm saying?
It is.
There's a lot of levels to this shit.
Yeah, man. And of course, shout out to MMG because we got Trop Da Vinci on deck for Friday. You know, and shout out to G Turk, you know, Ross's road manager, because anytime they're out in Vegas, I always try to make sure that I tag them on your page in case, you know, they get hungry. You know, him, Fat Boy, you know, Trop, you know, Yowda, all of them, because, I mean, you're a one-stop shop for everything, you know. So anytime they're out there, I always want to make sure.
I always tell my customers. The slogan is, you'll be back.
I like that. Simple, yet to the point. You'll be back.
Always got to hit it with that dish that's going to make them come back like fiends.
Yeah, they be on it. You need an extra kick. You'll be back. They always come back.
Yeah, she just say that like with that grin, like, yeah, I got what y'all get to take to this.
I think that's the cockiness in me.
Well, it's not cockiness if you're convinced. Because one thing about it is, you know, because if you're good at what you do, you know, it's not cockiness, it's self-assuredness from that end. You know, so it's what it is. You know what I'm saying? So that's something.
Thomas.
Yeah.
I said, did you put those boxes back over there by the air conditioner?
Yeah.
Like I said, you got to always have to believe in yourself, right? Because sometimes even when you're doing work like that, like you behind the kitchen, a lot of what we've seen behind the kitchen came from Hell's Kitchen.
Gordon Ramsay,
y'all
can do it. Yeah. How does it feel pretty much knowing that you've made your own lane and, no pun intended, your wave in terms of how you've been able to do this yourself without really having to go through, like, you know, all of those, like, because a lot of times people have to find that in order to get in. You pretty much found that on your own. When you watch a lot of those cooking shows, Shay, what do you see from it in terms of what those people go through trying to get in?
I see a lot of niggas can't cook.
They work hard to get where they're at, you know. I watch a lot of Gordon Ramsay. Gordon Ramsay is actually my favorite chef. I've been watching them for years and years and years. And I see these people on here. And I see they go through. You got to have tough skin to be in the cooking industry.
Mm-hmm.
You have to. You're going to get a lot coming back at you, a lot going for you, you know, it's a lot. It's not easy, but I make it look easy.
What about Wolfgang Puck? What about him?
Gordon. Gordon's the man. Gordon's
oh,
the man.
Oh, she just said, nah, Gordon. That's it. She's like, Wolfgang ain't nah. She's
it.
Like,
no. Gordon is the man. Yeah.
So what made you such a fan of his?
Just the way he talked to people. Is. The way he talks to people and just he do so much, you know. He's passionate about what he do. And it's like, when you're passionate about that, you put everything into it. And that's what he do. He do that with all his shows. He put everything into it. He put his heart into it, you know. I see the genuine in him.
Yeah.
He ain't afraid of getting your ass if you burn some fish.
Yeah, he not.
If he catch you burning that biscuit and you trying to scrape it off going to the corner, he going to throw your ass out of there.
Yeah, I can't. I would never give a person something that I wouldn't do it. You know, you're never going to get cold fries or some cold chicken or you're never going to get any of that. Everything has to be fresh, made on point, came burnt. It's just to the point. You know, I always ask for feedback, always. Give me feedback. Tell me what I did, something that you liked or you didn't like or you want more of, you know. I always like my feedback.
Yeah, and that keeps you in touch in terms
of everybody. That's important, being a leader, too, because everybody has the dictator mindset, and they think that's being a boss, but being a key leader is also listening to people.
Yeah, I like listening to everybody. Just tell me what it is. Sometimes I get customers, I gotta go to them. Hey, how would you like everything? Oh, I ate it and then everything was fire. Like, did you tell me before you ate after? Or a person will say, I went to sleep after. Like, I get a lot of customers. They just dive in without even taking a picture. I'd be like, y'all gotta start taking pictures so other people can see it, you know? But my customers, they don't want to share. They like stingy.
Yeah. You know, one thing about it, man, I mean, in terms of you being open so much, in terms of what you do, your story is inspirational because it shows what it is. Of course, if you are familiar with his story as well, Shay and King, Jeff Henderson, the former, you know, drug dealer, you know, who was locked up, you know, in prison and learned how to cook, and he became the head chef at the Bellagio, and I believe he's been on Oprah and a few other shows as well telling his story, you know.
Wow. Amazing.
Yeah, I'm going to send you the link for that story, Jay, so you can read it. Yeah, but I mean, the fact that, you know, people to see, because one thing about it, man, is that we all have our different walks in life, you know. Nobody can tell us the road to travel because ultimately our sense of direction is where we have to follow. It's just where we feel. But there's nothing more gratifying than finding your passion in terms of what you excel at. Because at the end, you know, some people, that's one thing about it, especially on this show, why we really appreciate our guests coming on. Because at the end of the day, people just want to be recognized for what they do. And I don't want to be all of a staff on there. You know, I have been on certain things. But my thing is, it costs nothing to be nice to people, y'all. You know, even if you don't necessarily like somebody's movement, don't try to kill their dream. Because there will be dream killers out there that are going to tell you, you can't do it, you know, you're never going to make it. But the reality is, you know, that's something where you have to know in your heart that where your passion, your drive, your commitment, you know, your love is, that's what's going to keep you together, and that's going to be what gets you over that hurdle when everybody throws up those obstacles. Because at the end, it's about being able to move by motivation, and it is about being able to support where people need that support, you know, because people have real feelings in real lives. And, you know, if you can help someone in terms of, within reason, in terms of helping them reach their goal, it costs zero to be supportive and to help people. You know, and I think that's the most important thing, you know, letting people know that we're here for you, you know, to give you that push.
Always, always. Stay positive, you know. Keep pushing. Don't give up.
Yeah, always. Man, but you know.
That's the word.
Definitely, definitely. So, I mean, but yeah, man, I mean...
I know you probably got to handle your business and, you know, take care of your clients or get prepared. But you have any shout outs you want to give out?
Yeah, shout out to my wife. Listen, that page, she does that page. All those reels y'all see, all that. She's like late night while I'm sleeping. She creates my page. I'm just the chef. She does everything.
Yo,
I don't post nothing.
Shout out to Shay's Bay. Yes. Yes. Man.
Yes, my wife is everything. She keeps me going, you know. She has me cook every day. It's not a day. She wants me to cook every day just to keep the content on my page, you know. So when I don't feel like cooking, she gives me an extra push, you know. So I'm blessed to have her in my life.
Look, we're blessed to have you on, Shay.
That fool be good looking too. I'd be like, even when I'm at work, I gotta put my phone I had to turn my phone upside down because I didn't want to look at the fish. y'all was gonna maybe push lunchtime at least 2 hours early.
look, Shay, you be working that black girl magic. You and your wife be working that black girl magic all the way out of Vegas, to North Carolina, where King got. You see that food, he's like, damn it.
I'll tell you.
Make you want to get on that next plane. Like, I'm on my way.
Yeah, because seafood here ain't even all that. I'm like, look, we can't rock with that Mayfly, but it ain't really fulfilling no more.
Like, you
got to
get down here and try this food, man. Tell me.
Man, look, we're trying to make. Yeah, look, we might fuck. We'll be back. We may stay out there. We be like, look. I mean, we got people in Vegas. But on the real, I mean, this has been a privilege. This has been wonderful. We have enjoyed this so much. Next time, you know, I'm in Vegas or King in Vegas, we definitely, you know, gotta hit you up. You know, I know I wish my mans, when I gave you that number, when I hit you that day at the store, they hit, you know, him and his wife had managed to get out there. You know, they had got tired because they like the last day, you know, but they couldn't get out there. But definitely, I get back out of Vegas, you're the first eatery, you know, me and my family go to in terms of, like, yo, she's, yeah.
Thank you.
And I'm also, too, like I said, with the people we know out there already, like I said, I'm going to keep tagging them on your, I don't like overdoing it, but I, you know, every so often as
you
your wife see, I
tag, especially shout out to my family. Like, my family is everything. Like, they support me. It's like, when I say so many, I can't even, it's a lot of them. They all support me. They all reshare. They always, they've been telling me since day one, this is what you need to do. This is what you need to do. Just do it. It's like, thank you, y'all. I just thank y'all. Appreciate y'all. I love all my family.
And, you know, one thing about it, man, there's no bigger support system than a family because, you know, when we look at a lot of people, and I'm going to go there again, in the black community sometimes, you know, some of us don't always achieve the goals that we set, so we try to stop somebody else from, you know, from trying to reach theirs. You know, my thing is, look, let that person be great. You know what I'm saying? You know, we got to go against so much already in society. Let's not tear each other down telling somebody why we can't, you know, why, you know, you can't do this. I'm like, you can do whatever you put your mind to. Just make sure you have a plan and execute it, you know, because I tell anybody, you know, you can have a dream, and a dream is fine, but if you're going to put that dream into action, have a plan that is executed well. You know, it's like being a rapper. You know, if you want to rap, that's fine, but make sure that you got good music. Otherwise, people ain't going to listen. But if that's your career and your calling and it's something you really want to do, put in the time and the work to get good at it. You know, and there's going to be, you know, those sleepless nights, those doubts, people telling you no. I mean, even with this show, as many guests we've had on the show, we've had some guests tell us no, and guess what? We kept going, and it didn't stop us.
Gotta keep it moving.
You know, and that's just how we, you know, and one thing about it, when we can do shows like this to really give a forum, a platform to individuals like yourself, working class, you know, married individual, you know, who pretty much, you know, because people have this thing about entrepreneurship, and it is sexy when you're able to, you know, work on your own merits in terms of being your own boss, but people don't understand how much time and, you know, energy and discipline it really takes to do this. People don't see the hard times, you know, but one thing about it is when you're able to succeed and excel in that succeeding, that is a testament to tenacity and an incredible inspiration to any individual who gets to observe it. I mean, even before we formally had this interview, Shay, you had the support of both of us, and you hadn't even really met us formally yet, and you still have our support to this day and always will.
Yes, I thank y'all for that. You know, just really, it was the purpose why I met you. When I know y'all always shout me out, y'all share my stuff. Like, I appreciate it. You don't know how much I appreciate it. I'm very thankful.
Look, we're thankful for you. Our very best to you and your lovely wife. We thank you for this opportunity. You are more than welcome back anytime.
Definitely.
You know, if you do end up cooking for Mayweather Jr., please let us know so we can come out there. You cook for senior, so now
great,
that's
coming next.
Next,
you know, I'm gonna speak into existence. That's coming next. I'm coming for
what it is.
We'll have to shout out our man, Sinister Monopoly, too. Shout out to Sinister Monopoly, the dopest pop artist out there in L.A., man, because we'll have to tag you on. I have to tag him on your page, too, Shay. So, Shay, this individual, Sinister, is so humble. We did an interview with him like 3-4 months ago. We didn't even know that this guy did a picture of Mayweather. He was commissioned to do a portrait of Mayweather. Not only does he have the picture, he's posing with Mayweather.
Wow. Nice.
He's just such a humble dude, man. It's like this dude has done paintings for Ice Cube. He's, you know,
he's everywhere.
He's a, you know, and the thing is, he does that high-end pop art in L.A. where, like, you can sell your pictures for, like, your paintings for, like, $50,000, $60,000. He even has his million-dollar piece that he's done, you know, that he's trying to bank on because he's like, that's basically a one-on-one. Like, I think that was the first one he said when I think we interviewed him. What was that, King? You said that was the first one he did in prison?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the first one he did in prison. So that's the that's sentimental to him. But for the right price, you know, he's going to bank off of that. I have to tag him on your page, Shay, and hopefully you and him can hook up as well in terms of just chopping it up. Because he's familiar with those people out there as well, you know, and he's plugged
nice,
in with a lot of people
nice.
In Los Angeles. So, you and him need to chop it up. But we know, obviously, you know, between cooking, you know, being
that's
the wifey and
– That's the beautiful thing about our show is that, you know, we connect people with other people.
Yeah.
It's all about building the brands at the end of the day.
And building bridges, definitely.
Yeah, guys, I'm about to sign out myself, man. So it's always an honor chopping it up with you, Shay. I'm going to put my phone down.
Oh,
yes,
thank
I
you. Appreciate it.
Bills and I won't starve again.
All right. Hey, y'all go follow Shay's Wave.
Shay's Wave.
Las Vegas.
Shay's Wave.
Come catch
this wave.
That's
right. Surf that super cuisine she got, man. She's going to wipe you out on how good it is. So, yeah, man.
Yeah,
so once again, another episode.
And no, we out. Catch us again Friday night. We got more coming.
Yep. We out. Peace. God bless.
Peace.